This recording is a production of Faith Builders Resource Group. This recording was made at Reach 2022, a conservative Anabaptist ministry convention hosted by Faith Builders Educational Programs on March 24 and 25, 2022, in Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
Well, welcome. I purposely chose a kind of blatant and just maybe even boring title to keep people disinterested out of the room, but might have drove too many people out. Glad we have a handful here, and maybe we can even have a discussion if it's class size. Well, welcome. I want to start with a story. 17 years ago, I walked into my brother's wood shop, my brother Laverne, Elite Wood Classics, and on that particular day, I waited till the day was over. The employees were all gone, and I wanted to talk to my brother about something alone. We had grown up and worked together on our family farm 20 years prior to that, and we had done our set of meetings together. Anyhow, we didn't even call meetings back then, much less management meetings. You know, it was in the shop, leaning up against the skid loader or the workbench, or in the barn, up against the, you know, the gate. But they were meetings. And this was, though, 20 years later, and I walked into a shop. And that particular day, I wanted him alone, and I wanted him distracted, undistracted. He was still there at his workplace, Elite Wood Classics. And I started in, I said, I want to talk about 20 years ago. I want to talk about those meetings we had on the farm. I said, I don't feel as good about them the last couple years. I said, looking back, I was a bit of a bully. I got my own way. I knew how to talk to get things to go my way. And I said, yeah, wonder what that was like for you. Well, obviously he was caught a bit off guard, and after a long minute, he said, I don't want to talk about it. Well, now I was caught off guard. And I said, well, but I want to make it right. And he said, what did I just say, Merle? I said, you said you don't want to talk about it. And he said, are you going to listen to me, or are you going to try to get your way again? He said, there's the door. I walked out the door. You know, our meetings matter. What happens in our meetings, and in particular our weekly meetings, shape and determine the culture of your organization more than any other activity. Think about that. Relationships die or stagnate or thrive. Good decisions are made or bad. It's a place where you find sweet harmony or you tolerate each other. Recently, about a year ago, when I was working on my book on meetings, I happened to be visiting a business who I was friends of the owner, and stopped in there regularly to visit, and his son was there, 30 years old. His son was third generation. And I had a little bit of a side relationship with the son. And he said, what are you up to, Merle? And I said, oh, I'm up to trying to write this book on meetings. He said, meetings? He said, I hate meetings around here. I said, really? What's wrong with your meetings? He said, we avoid them. We avoid our meetings at all costs. We don't get together unless there's $100,000 or more on the line to talk about inside. Meetings Well, you know, Pat McConey, in his book on meetings, captured this reality with his title, aptly titled, Death by Meetings. It captures the visceral feeling that third generation young man was experiencing in his family business. My brother experienced death by meetings. 4 months later, I got the courage to walk back in my brother's wood shop. I didn't waste any time on small talk. I went right to the issue. I said, "You ready to talk about those meetings back on the farm?" There was another long pause. And he said, "I think I'm ready to talk, but you're not." I said, "Well, wait, what do you mean?" He said, "When you were here last time, you had a sense that something was wrong, but you weren't in touch with what really happened." He said, "When you feel the remorse and the shame of what happened in those meetings, I'm ready to talk. But until then, there's the door." I walked out the door the second time. Now, unless you think my brother's the bad boy in this story, he was doing a Joseph move on me. Remember Joseph and his brothers? My brother wasn't bitter. He was checking to see how serious I was about those bad meetings we had. The way I remembered the meetings is my brother just gradually had less to say over the years. And I kept talking. But he was slowly experiencing death of a subtle sort. Well, I attribute my brother to some of the passion that I have today about meetings. If you want to know how I feel about my brother, read the acknowledgement in my book. That'll come out in a couple months. We're going to talk today about a meeting, the weekly management meeting. And I'm curious here as we start, how many of you, you know, are in management, and so you're in the harness and you're doing quotes management meetings. Okay, most of you, good. How many are on your management team? You know, sometimes you can do a management meeting with two people or more, of course. How many's on your management team? How many? On your team? Seven or eight. Okay, pretty large company probably. There has to be some smaller ones. Two, three. How many? Two, three. Yeah. How many?
Eight.
Yeah. Okay. Different dynamics there, whether it's three or two, or anywhere in between. Before we get into the management meeting itself, I want to talk about my search for what are the principles, the fundamentals, I call them the disciplines of meetings. Now, this relates to all meetings. We're just going to look at one today. But I want to just give you a little backdrop. This is our intro in relation to kind of the fundamentals of meetings. In my search, I've developed five. And these are not my five. If you read Pat McConey, if you read Michael Hyde, if you read Elise Keith, you read the books of the last 10 years, you're going to find these five, maybe not arranged in this way. But I'm suggesting it's about structure, it's about facilitation, it's about engagement, synergy, and ownership. I want to just touch on very briefly, a couple minutes, and then we're going to go into the weekly. Structure is the foundational principle of a lot of things, whether it's the building or the organization, but also the meeting. If you don't have structure, nothing, and you get the house crooked, and you builders that follow up crews that don't get the frame right and try to do the siding or whatever else, the doors, it's a mess, isn't it? Get the structure right, a lot goes smoothly thereafter. Structure isn't the most important, but it's, you might say, first and foundational. And it's a bit boring, but actually we're going to spend most of our time on structures as relates to the weekly meeting. Facilitation, what do I mean by facilitation? It's the methods you use, such as visual aids, documentation, objects, stories, questions. It's the facilitation tools of the meeting that I'm referring to here. Even things like how you do debate. Patrick Lacone is a premier writer on what he calls facilitating healthy debate. And he argues that healthy debate, contrary to much debate, which shuts people up, healthy debate brings out the best ideas, brings them to the surface. Well, he says meetings are unnecessarily boring because they lack drama. Well, drama of the good sort, of course, here. You know, we talk about drama nowadays, the bad drama, but there's good drama. Drama where you feel emotional. Of course, it's dangerous when you feel emotional because you all have those bad things buried down in there and pop out. But what about a meeting that has some heart in it? When we check our hearts at the door to have this sterile meeting, is it any wonder they feel a little dead and flat? And we sometimes say we're bored in a meeting. Thirdly, engagement. Just going faster. Engagement is about focus. It's about concentration. It's about eliminating the distractions. It's following the train of thought. It's getting on the same page. It's bringing your concentration powers to bear. It's really about understanding and receiving what's going on in the meeting, the perspectives, the desires, the why, what's being discussed even. Synergy, on the other hand, is kind of the flip side. It's you offering what you have. It's bringing yourself to bear. Engagement is taking it all in. Synergy, then, is starting to collaborate with each other. It's synergizing the energy. It's adding your two cents, we say. It's putting the puzzle pieces all together. It's taking the diversity and making something whole out of it. That's synergy. You ever been to a meeting, especially a brainstorming meeting, where the goal of the meeting is to throw a bunch of stuff on the table, maybe this, maybe that, and you get to the end, toward the end of the meeting, and someone's kind of honest, and they say, man, where do we go from here? All right? What's happening in the meeting? Where do we go from here? It's kind of like, phew, there's a smorgasbord, and it's not coming together. Where do we go from here? And then someone pipes up and said, well, here's what I think we're saying. And he starts to put the puzzle together, and he mentions what Ryan said, and he mentions what Marlon said, and he starts to pull the threads together. That's synergy. That is a skill. You're not born with that skill. You'd be able to take tangled threads and somehow weave something and build on each other's best contribution to the meeting. That's synergy. Lastly, ownership. What I mean by ownership, some people at a sport event are what's called spectators, and you have players. Now, spectators are not short on engagement, typically. They're as energetic as those guys on the field, but they can't own the game. Ownership is like saying, I take responsibility for this game. The spectators can't do that. They can be disappointed or elated. They can't take responsibility for what's happening on that field. Ownership is being a real player in a meeting. And particularly, I mean ownership in the sense of evaluating your meetings. Commitment to improve your meetings. Commitment to ensure that your meetings represent the values of the organization. It's a commitment, a sense of, I own this meeting. I'm not just attending. I own it. And particularly, I take responsibility for changing and developing the meeting to the level of strength that the organization needs. We'll more on that later. That's just the backdrop to the weekly management meeting. But it's the premise of my book written across those five principles. We're going to work on the weekly management meeting from the structure, from the first one of the five disciplines. We'll weave in a little bit of facilitation engagement, but I'm going to stay with what feels to me like the most boring part of these five is structure, because if you don't got structure, there's no use talking about the rest. And it was my weakness for years. So out of that little pain comes some comments here. What is the weekly management meeting? Well, weekly management meeting can happen at two levels. One can be at what we call the top of the organization, the management team meeting. For a larger organization, think of this as also a departmental meeting. Some organizations have middle management, we call it, and they have a meeting of within the department. Think of the weekly management meeting as applying to either the top of the organization or one of the departments. And the purpose of weekly management is about threefold, maybe fourfold: build relationship, share important information, address operational issues, and drive accountability. Those are the four objectives that I suggest weekly meetings need to be built around. And if you cut out building relationships and only make it threefold, you have a very different meeting. Many management meetings are about sharing important information, addressing operational issues, and driving accountability. And they just let the relationships happen. I'm not suggesting a fourfold objective there in the weekly management meeting. Now, weekly management meetings, I'm using weekly a little bit as a euphemism. Every other week can be equally as good as weekly. Depending on the intensity, size, demand of your organization, weekly or biweekly can work. I'm in more biweekly management meetings than weekly. So, just said that. Let's go to, how does the weekly management fit into a systems of meetings? Okay, so the weekly management meeting is you might say, the meeting of meetings of any organization. Okay, but it does not stand alone. The weekly management meeting particularly becomes powerful when it is preceded by the annual strategic planning meeting once a year or whatever. And then the annual plan is broken down into quarterly meetings. And then the weekly meeting becomes a 12-week march, achieving quarterly goals. That becomes a powerful weekly meeting. If you're not doing annual planning and you're not doing quarterly, the weekly management meeting has to carry a lot of weight that it's not intended to carry. I suggest my topic isn't on these other meetings, okay? But I'm suggesting that it should be in a system of meeting and viewed in a systems of meeting. And of course, the daily meeting, the check-ins, whatever you want to call that, it sits with this set of meetings. Now, I said we're going to look at the weekly meeting through structure. And this is just the ABCs of meetings. I don't even have to maybe say it, unless it's so simple we don't get it. Prepare, lead, follow up. Well, sure. Don't waste my time, bro. Well, there it is. It's old as can be, all right? But we're going to actually, if you don't mind, spend the next 30 minutes on that. On the structure that needs to go into preparing, leading, and following up on the meeting, any meeting you might say, but we're going to be looking through the lens of the weekly. Structure, as boring as it sounds, is like an engine block. It turns fire power into horsepower. Or think of something older, the ox. What structure is it you need with the ox to get its power to translate into something? The old yoke. Or think of the bullet. How do you get a bullet to hit its target? The structure of a barrel. To get the power that's available in their own, the people, we need structure. We need structure to get that power to get translated into something useful. All right, let's jump into planning the first part, just preparing for the meeting. Again, this is ABCs. I don't want to bore you, but think of five things when it comes to getting ready for a meeting: the logistics, the agenda, the documents, the getting the news out there of when the meeting is, sending it out, and maybe helping your participants get ready in the meeting space. Again, didn't tell you anything you didn't know, but let's just take a minute to go through them very quickly. Step one, plan logistics. What time, what day, or time of day? Where would the meeting be located? Well, typically in a company, this is the same location. You know, it's wherever you all meet, okay? But here's the secret. Same day, same time, same place every week or every other. Same time, same day is critical for busy people. It's on their calendar. You hit repeat on your iPhone or whatever, and you never put anything on that meeting date. That way you don't get this thing hijacked. Get it in there, same time, same day, providing your calendar sync. I see Ron's laughing. He's my tech. He's helping me get my calendar a little bit straightened out here recently. But it's pretty simple. Same day, same time every week, so it doesn't get hijacked with other meetings. So, who's invited? Oh, come on. That's simple. Well, it's the same question as who's on your management team. Recently, I was visiting a business, and he was talking about his management team. I said, how many's on your management team? He said, 15. And I thought to myself, okay, 15. I knew the size of his company, about 75. And I thought, there's no way there's 15 on his management team. He's not doing a management team. He's got something else going on. Well, what he had going on is he didn't have 15 people in these four seats. He was doing a management meeting, and he had some of these people up into the top management team. What do I mean by management? I really mean these four typical seats. Think of these as hats people wear. Now, if you're, you know, an owner and you're just got a couple employees, you might wear all these hats. You might have, okay. But some of you said there's two. Typically, a person will wear two hats, maybe. Depending on the larger organization you get, the hats go out. And oftentimes in operations, there's a couple people here. You follow me? So who is invited is on the management team. And some organizations are confused about the top-level management and mid-level. So, for example, at Anabaptist Financial, we have a couple guys in wearing operation hats because we have a couple departments. But we have one finance guy, and we bail sales and marketing into a lot of nonprofits, do really into an operational role. But there's six of us at Anabaptist Financial. But here is the department I run. Okay, I run Stewardship Resources. Okay, now that's a subset of what we call the officer team. But this is a management team, but this is a department. You follow me? And I hold a management meeting with them. It's four of us. Okay, so make sure you distinguish between mid-level management and top management, and don't try to do a meeting with, well, you can, but you got to know what you're doing if you're bailing up middle management up into top-level management. It's very difficult to, you have a lot of people in meetings that don't need to be in meetings when you do that. But anyhow, there may be a reason to do it. Let's go now to design the agenda. Again, this is just the top part of the agenda. Name, date, you know, who's there, location, whatever. It's very, very, but that ought to be on the top part of your agenda, all spelled out. particularly if the place is known, that can be eliminated or whatever. But there is the seven pieces of logistical information. Also, do any participants have an agenda item? So you're the meeting leader. You have some things you want to talk about, but what about the other players? You ought to invite other agenda items to be added to the list. Also, you may have tabled items from the previous meeting that get pulled up into the meeting. Take a look at the tabled items and, of course, your own list. Are all agenda items clear, relevant, and sequential? There's a natural way to talk through issues. Get them arranged sequentially. And if one must be talked about, make sure it's not last. You know how meetings go. You don't always get done. Well, if the critical issue was put last, you might need to start with that, even if it's not sequential, just because of its importance. Does each agenda item have a person assigned to it? Every agenda item should have a person's name next to it. They're going to present it. That's obvious, but be surprised. People come out, who's going to talk here? That's part of the designing the agenda. And again, we're getting into facilitation. What unique facilitation approach or presentation method should be used? Don't think of a meeting just getting together and hash. Sometimes a document needs to come to the meeting, and that's the next point here. Prepare the supporting documents. Prepare the visual aids. Does the presenter need coached? Okay, especially if it's not you, if you're the meeting leader. So next week, my business partner is leading the annual planning meeting, a two-day meeting for Agsalt, my company that I'm part of. Well, it's the first time he's doing it. Well, Monday, I'm coaching him, helping him get ready for a meeting for Tuesday and Wednesday because it's his first time. I'm helping him with that, with getting ready for it, even though I don't lead the meeting. Oftentimes, a chairman and secretary will work together to get ready for the meeting. Secretary can save you some time. Essentially, what does your team need to fully understand the issues, engage in the discussion? You want to prepare those documents and those resources. Step four is, of course, send it out. Get it to them. And I suggest on the weekly basis, get it to them at least a half day ahead. That means all the agenda items ought to be to you probably a day ahead. Again, you got the last minute agenda items come in, that's fine. And decide if you're going to have a ground rule. Can you show up at the meeting and you don't read any of the stuff that was sent out? You decide. But if you don't decide, you leave culture up to fate. I suggest you decide if the certain document needs read or not and highlight it. You need to read that one before you come to the meeting, or you don't. Maybe it's just the financial report. You agree you don't need to look at financial reports before the meeting, whatever. Think about what ground rules to help with the culture that you're after in the meeting. Lastly and simply, of course, prepare participants, maybe the meeting space. Are there any additional conversations that are needed, et cetera, et cetera? Few indications that, to wrap up this thing of being prepared, indications that you're not prepared, unvetted agenda items. For example, if the agenda item is big enough to, so big that it takes up the whole meeting, it probably doesn't belong in a weekly. Typically in a weekly meeting, different people have things they have to be talking about. Make sure agenda item is vetted, meaning it's the right size. Maybe it's a tiny thing, it could be a side conversation, vetted. Say, you know what, that's an important issue, but all you and I is the only one need to talk about that. We'll do it off that side. Vet your item. Unvetted items is an unprepared meeting. Failure to research and prepare your documents. Or an agenda item, disorganized document, rushing last minute into the room, meeting room isn't prepared. Lots of ways not to be prepared for a meeting. Let's go to the second point, leading the meeting. And here's the bulk of our content here today. Again, ground rules. Let's just talk about ground rules a little bit. If you want meeting culture, if you're going to manage meeting culture, you got to have ground rules. And I don't mean a pharisaical approach to rules, but just expectations. Can you come a minute or two late? We have an expectation at Anabaptist Financial not to be late for the meeting. But I'm the biggest sinner. And one of my meeting
attendees, participants, owners, called me on the carpet. Merle, you're late for meetings, and we agreed that this is a ground rule. Good for them. Guess what? That became a to-do for me for several weeks to remind me that I show up meeting and not a minute late. Think about separating reporting from discussion. A lot behind that, and we'll move on. What meeting culture do you like? Do you want? Create some ground rules around that. Again, don't be pharisaical. Make them meaningful so you come up with a culture that you want. Another little note here before we dive in on leading the meeting, note-taking. Again, this is so elementary, but take the agenda and do the notes right under it. Right under, just write the notes. So when you review it, there was the agenda, right there's the notes. And think of writing them as an understanding or a decision. We'll get a little bit more to that later. List your to-dos separately. I like when the meeting notes are all done, go right to the to-dos and go right to the ones with my name. I suggest putting them at the bottom. Again, the to-do is who does what by when. Very, very straightforward. And then every agenda ought to have a parking lot at the bottom. I call it the tabled item list. Stuff that doesn't fit in the meeting or gets bumped out because it's, you know what, that's a bigger issue. Have a parking lot at the bottom of your agenda, unaddressed discussion points that need tabled, that come up either during the meeting or it's a place where you go when you're planning the next meeting and you go back and look at the last agenda and down there's your parking lot. Ooh, I want to pull that one up or I want to wait till the next meeting, whatever. That parking lot, taking notes and keeping track of unaddressed discussion points as needed. All right, so let's jump into the meat here. This is what I'm suggesting is a kind of a template, a 7-point template for the weekly meeting. This is what I would call an engineered template, meaning if you want something to work, there has to be engineering, there has to be thoughtful consideration put into a given, and for a meeting, a given agenda. It should be engineered to produce the outcomes, again, relationships, operational issues, and information that needs to be shared, and also driving accountability. Those four things I mentioned. This is really not unique to me. It's in the best meeting literature out there. I've just condensed it into seven steps. We're going to go through these. Okay, so this is just kind of a thumbnail. You probably can't even read some of that. I'm not going to go over. But we're going to go through these seven. But I just wanted to give you the overview. Let's go. So step one is get present and personal. If you read, let's say, another author, Traction, let's say, has a lot to say about what they call a level 10 meeting. Their first step is segue. Was there any difference between what Gino Wickman means by segue into a meeting and what I'm suggesting is get present and personal? I want to argue that there is. There's theology on this get present and even personal. The personal has an element of we're about relationships here. Relationships have to grow in the meeting. And everything isn't just business. You have a life apart from business here. Does that matter in this meeting room? When it's management, we've got things to decide. I'm suggesting it can. Maybe somebody's going to be offbeat in that meeting because something's happening in their personal world, and it's okay to pause and just recognize that. And they even share it. People understand there's a get present. We ask for the Lord's presence, do we not? Generally? Maybe not formally? Maybe so? But what about you getting present? What is presence? Presence is the sense of your spiritual weightiness. It's not you showing up with your body temperature at 98.6. We call them warm bodies. It's you showing up and bringing your spiritual weightiness into the room. You know, oftentimes people start meetings with, not often, not as much in our circles, but sports and weather. We use the weather, the icebreaker. It's a man thing, maybe. You ladies wouldn't do that, but that's a poor It's personal, whatever, but it's a poor one. There's way better ways to get into a meeting, personal, family, whatever, can be shared. But it's essentially eliminating distractions, walking in with your head up into the room, and eye contact. Good to be with you. And mean it. Versus carrying your laptop and sitting her down and getting everything arranged and good morning and you never even look at the guy. That's not getting present. You got to watch these wonderful devices. I love them, but they can just take the presence out of the room. And yes, the room's full of information, but the relationship's just about pressed back out the door. And we think information's going to run our organizations? So I'm suggesting it includes brief sharing. Maybe a personal highlight, maybe a win, home or business. It can include prayer, a song. Let's go on to step two. Share important information and values. So this is not agenda items, okay? We're just getting the meeting. We're in the meeting. There's a sense of personal connection with each other, a sense of appreciation for each other. Step two is share information. Again, some meetings go right past this point. You might have a good reason to. But this is what Pat Lencioni calls lightning flashes. And that's a great metaphor. It lights up real quick, okay? It's like, this is a skill to, let's say you represent a department, and you think, you know, I think these three things would be good for everyone to know. Boom, 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 in 1 minute. You give them lightning flashes of your department. Just information, not a discussion point. That's point six. This is just, what might the others need to know in my part of the organization? And you might not have anything in one meeting, and you might have something in the next. Brief, important information or news, too small to be considered an agenda item, okay? And yet not too large, or it should be. If it needs any discussion at all, it shouldn't be in number two. It ought to be down to the discussion item. This is reporting only. Needs discussion, it goes to number six, okay? It also helps people to stay in tune. Well, I already mentioned that. And again, it can be anything in your area of work. Lastly, this shared important information and values is a moment to highlight the core values of the company. And this is unique to a Christian organization, and well, even some sort of secular organization are realizing the importance of this. But taking time to emphasize the values, the culture you're after in the meeting. The best way this is done is simply tell a brief story of someone in the past week that demonstrated the values of the company. Tell a story that actually has meaning to it, that actually moves and you feel the appreciation for that team member who demonstrated it. Take time, a little bit, to let values come into your weekly management meeting. Leaders who fail to regularly affirm and celebrate when a team member demonstrates values are leaving cultural formation up to chance. Now, if you don't care about culture, it's going to feel like a waste of time to let that story be told. But if you're passionate about the culture of your company, I'm suggesting a weekly room for that is appropriate. Let's go to step three. Step three is typically a business step. Most nonprofits may not use it because some of their product is soft, we say. But particularly a business, manufacturing, having dashboards in your meeting. Again, very short, 5 minutes. It's reporting only. We call them KPIs. This step puts more information in the weekly meeting than any other step. Good KPIs of production, sales, boom, boom, boom. Right there's our number last week. No discussion, we're on track. Whew, everybody knows. Or, oh, it's off. Do we need to talk about it? No, I have it correct. Okay. But it's also a time to say, we're stumbling. Discussion item. You need to talk about it? Sure. KPIs are an excellent place, have a place in the weekly meeting.
if you use KPIs in your business. Sometimes you feel this stuff and you know it intuitively. You don't need a number. You're out there on the production floor and whatever. You don't necessarily need a dashboard if you can feel and sense the reality. Larger companies oftentimes need this, these numbers to come into the management, the weekly management meeting. Number four assumes you're doing quarterly meetings. Now, maybe you're not, and don't hear me condemning you if you're not doing quarterly meetings. Maybe you set your annual goal and you have a 52-week march. I'm suggesting, again, you think about quarterly meetings, setting quarterly goals, and you just take brief moment to check to see if all the quarterly goals are on target at week, whatever, your week six. This can be done in 1 minute. On track, off track. Everyone, if there's any goals, a person ought to own that goal, and they say it's on track, boom. Oh, we're slipping. Well, discussion item or not, you need help. If you don't have quarterly goals in a weekly meeting, the chances of achieving the annual goal that you set is much less. Step five. We're not yet to our discussion. Okay, we're still in the first 20 minutes of the meeting, assuming a 90-minute meeting, let's say, or 60, whatever. Step five, I'm suggesting that you run to-dos in your meetings, okay? And let's assume you do that. Well, to-dos do no good if you don't see if they're done. Take time to report on previous week to-dos. Again, reporting only. This can take 1 minute, especially if all the to-dos are up on the wall from the previous meetings and you're in the meeting room and, whoop, they all have check boxes and they're all checked. 30 seconds, to-dos are done. Good. Well, the one isn't done. You need help? Talk about it a little bit. No, I've got it. Okay. But if they need to talk about it for any length of time, it becomes an agenda item. Watch how much you go into a to-do that you couldn't get done and the wherefores and whys. Maybe a little, but keep it to reporting or else it's big enough to become a discussion item because they need help with it. That's fair. Aim to have at least 80% of your to-dos done. 90 is better. The sixth step. Here's the bulk of the meeting. Prioritize and talk through discussion points. A lot could be said here, but again, this is the bulk of the meeting. This is, some people go right to here when they do it in the meeting. Let's go right to the issues. And they go right, they don't have anyone to, no getting present, no small information, no quarterly goals, no to-dos, whatever. I'm not suggesting that, but a lot of the guys go right to this point because it's the bulk of the meeting. Yes, it's the centerpiece. We've got issues to talk about. We've got decisions to make. We've got things to figure out together. again, just a couple points there. When you get to this spot, is there any last-minute discussion? I think there's a place in a weekly meeting that somebody comes in with an agenda item that didn't pop up the day before. That's fine. Yeah, especially you have room for it. Is there any other last-minute discussion points to add? They should already be arranged by the meeting leader in the sequential order, but somebody else can say, you know what, that thing, can we talk about that other one first? Because it's going to implicate somebody in the meeting might want to reverse it a little. That's fine. Double check on the sequence whether they agree with it. And again, if you have a top issue, make sure it's not last on the agenda. And again, if you're running more of a high-performance meeting, you might want to set a time for a discussion point. Oftentimes, weekly meetings don't, but like board meetings typically are timed because these men have very busy lives and anyhow, there's a place to time an agenda, and other times it's not. You decide whether you should be timing your discussion point. Let's think about discussion outcomes. And this is simple, but and maybe it's intuitive. But you really have four things you're headed for in your discussion. Just think about it. And it really, if you get this clear in your mind, you're heading for an understanding, a common shared kind of agree. It's not any decision but here's what's happening. I get it. They get an understanding. And the person taking notes, we're working on understanding, just a conclusion we call it. An understanding or a to-do. Who's going to, we have this issue and it ends up with a to-do that's a written. I'm suggesting it should be a written to-do with somebody's name on it. Who does what by when. Or it's a decision. Okay, we have this decision to make. Oftentimes a decision, though, will have a to-do. Somebody will act on a decision.
Decisions hold things in some, and so it'll often be a to-do tied to a decision. That decision should be in the notes. We decided on this. And then it's, and then a to-do sometimes is. And then sometimes you know, it's like, whoa, we're just not ready. We pause an issue. Big issues you want to sleep over. Think of that as a tabled issue. And think of that as point eight on your diagram, on your agenda. I have seven because to-dos, tabled items aren't something you do. It's for another time. So it's point eight. You're headed in one of those four directions with everything. 0 minutes. Thank you. We'll finish up here. Wrap up the meeting is step seven. Again, recap the to-dos. And particularly if you're putting it up on the wall, that doesn't take long. All the to-dos are written. The person taking notes. If you're putting it up on the wall, recap them. Ask if any items come up through the meeting that need tabled. Sometimes something pops up in the meeting. Hey, next meeting, let's talk about that. It popped up. Didn't have time to talk about it, but can we talk about that next meeting? Drop it right to number eight, to your tabled, your kind of like your parking lot. And then if you're doing maybe what I call in my book, advanced meeting, rate your meeting. If you're taking ownership for how good this meeting is, rate it. Indicators that you're not leading the meeting, there's a few. Let me just whip through these. If you took notes, you publish the notes, send them out. Make them available to everybody. Everybody in the meeting should be able to access the notes and reflect on the meeting. Some of the best thoughts will come to you after a meeting. That's even why when we're not sure about things, we say we want to sleep over it. Think about what comes to you after the meeting, and if it's valuable, put it in the table section. Capture your afterthoughts. Minds often innovate doing silent contemplation after being stimulated by spirited discussion. Don't lose those afterthoughts. Of course, lastly, complete your to-dos. Complete your to-dos. If you're going to write them, complete your to-dos before next meeting. Of course, you're going to answer next meeting if you're running to-dos in your meetings. To-dos is the number one thing that transformed the way I've led meetings in the last several years. I didn't used to do to-dos. We, by nature, need held accountable. The Lord holds us accountable. It's just natural for us to perform at a higher level if we will allow ourselves, build a system that holds us accountable. And yes, it can be okay not to have your to-do done, but say why. Make sure the team understands why something isn't getting done. The company that follows through on its weekly to-dos is the only company that will accomplish its annual plans. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. All recordings from Reach 2022 are available from Christian Learning Resource, the campus bookstore at Faith Builders. To purchase additional recordings from Reach or other Faith Builders events, visit us online at www.christianlearning.org or call us at 814-789-4769.